Are you ready for a brand new series in a brand new term? This is the series of all series. It's the World Championship of Series. Punching far above his weight, we have on the left-hand side, not Peter, but Pastor Mark today, introducing the life of David. You are going to get blown away this term. This young man's life, who started young, like you all, and ended not so young, his life connects with ours on so many levels. So here's what we've done. We've looked through his life, and we've seen at least 10 key themes, like destiny, like giants, like friends. How many of you have issues with friends ever? How many of you need a little bit of help in that area? Friends can be awesome, you know? Friends can be challenging. How many of you have ever had to take a knife out of your back because you're someone close has betrayed you or let you down even. David had his share of that. How many of you have ever found yourself there with a loaded gun wanting to just exact revenge against them? How many of you have been through trials where it feels like you're pushing this rock uphill? It's like, Lord, I need help here, you know? David had his share of that, and we will learn from what happened in his life. How many of you have ever thought, if I could just rule the world? Free Wi-Fi for everybody. You know, power is great, but power can corrupt. How do we use power? How do we not misuse power? I'm sure none of you have ever been tempted in the area of sexuality. We're going to learn about lust from David. Not his highlight, but so much in that story that we can learn. Tragedy? Tell you what, you don't have to live long before you face tragedy. Because not only old people die, not only bad things happen to bad things happen sometimes to good people. And we'll learn from David. And lastly, we'll learn about legacy. How do we leave? And what legacy do we live? I don't want to fast forward too much, but Jesus kind of has quite a bit to do with David. Legacy. And so today we're going to think about destiny. I'm sure there's many ways to think about it, but to start at your table, I want you to fast forward your life to that last dying moment. What do you think you would have desperately wanted to have accomplished by the time you breathe your last breath and you gently go to heaven? What do you want to have accomplished in life? Go. I'm sure there's many ways to think about destiny. I mean, you know, when you look at a definition, there's lots of ways to define it. One thing I know that destiny is not. It's not the grave. That may be a destination on the way to eternity, maybe a passing through just for the body. But so we're not talking about just that arrival point, a destination. And it could be expressed in a general way, like generally, what does God want from humans? To love him, to love the world, to be fruitful, multiply, make disciples, and that's all part of our destiny. But what if, as we're going to define it today, we say that destiny is the specific task that God wants you to accomplish on earth? What if God wants you to do something specific and unique that's uniquely designed around you? And it may not even just be one thing, as I'm going to illustrate a bit later. But what if, even from a young age, we find ourselves drawn by God to accomplish something? And we might think, but I'm young. But young people, this country is evidence that young people can bring change. You don't have to be old and gray. What if we could get to that place where we come up with something that's so revolutionary that every single homeless person is taken care of? I mean, you just drive around the streets of Joburg every week and you just think, there's got to be a way of caring for people. You know, there's so many people that are falling through the cracks. And what if it wasn't some old gray-headed person that comes up with it? But what if God would tap someone and say, this is that specific task that I want you to accomplish? It's like, are you going to put your hand up? Are you going to do this? There was a very dark time in the UK's life when Germany was on the brink of taking over Europe, and they would have probably taken over the world. Probably German would be the first language, and we're not country haters, obviously. A lot of time has passed since Hitler and his whole ideologies passed. But that was touch and go for the UK. You know, they were very close to being obliterated by the bombers that were raining down bombs, and I'm sure they were doing their share of bombers going the other way too. But this guy, the Prime Minister at the time, Sir Winston Churchill, felt that he needed to pull people into a place where they were willing to respond. And this is what he said. To each there comes in their lifetime that special moment where they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder. In other words, it's if someone is actually tapping their shoulder. And they are offered the chance. They're not forced. They are offered the chance to do a very special thing. That thing is unique to them and fitted to their talents. So it aligns with who they are. What a tragedy if that moment finds them, two things, unprepared or unqualified for that which could have been their finest hour. So it's like, I've got a chance to do something amazing that's uniquely designed or wired to me, my background, everything God has been preparing me for, and what a tragedy it would be if this thing that would be my finest hour, I'm unprepared for it. In other words, I can't do it because I don't have any abilities or skills and I'm not aligned with it. Or what if I'm unqualified? What if I'm off doing something else? Or what if I've fallen off the wagon? What if I am such a down and out, you know, misfortune, alcoholic, life's been so bad, I haven't stayed the distance, I've just gone that route, and I can't do what could have been my finest hour. Here's the exciting truth for those who follow Christ, that God has a destiny for each of us, and He will work through us, or for us firstly, in us and through us to fulfill that destiny. Because often we think like, oh, I'm going to miss the destiny. Have you ever thought that? What if I marry the wrong person? Or what if I get the wrong job? Or what if I? No, don't worry about that. God, the ruler of the universe, is more than capable of tapping me on the shoulder, of getting my attention, even long before I'm ready for that thing which would be ultimately my finest hour, or things. He's more than capable to work for me, in other words, to move circumstances around, as we'll see now in David, and in me to help me become what I should be, and finally use me to impact other people's lives. Where do we get all this? Well, we see it so clearly in David's life. And I actually want to read, just so you get a good context. And so we're reading 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this is how it starts. There's been a king in Israel. The people demanded a king. The nation of Israel was a theocracy. In other words, God led. They weren't a monarchy. It wasn't like one man or woman leading the nation, right? But the people pleaded, and he gave them what they asked for. And Saul kind of started out okay, but he went very south very quick. And the Lord raises up this prophet Samuel, 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king of Israel? Saul's not dead. Saul's still around. He's still the king. But God says he's no longer what he should be. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Imagine, there's a king. Now, God says, go and anoint someone else to be king. It's not like that guy's died, you know? It's like one president's been taken out, someone else is in, then there's this faction. Does it sound like our day and age? People are making noises in the background if you read the headlines and read the news. But Samuel says, hey, he's going to kill me. The Lord says, take a young calf with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are anointed for me, the one I indicate. So God says, I have someone in mind, I'm going to show you. Samuel did what the Lord said. And when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. So consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, who looked exactly like Peter, big muscles, big calves. Oh no, that's a footnote, but it's not the original. But you know it's true, Peter, right? And he said, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me. He took one look at Peter, and he says, yo, this is the next king. He's an oppressive character, impressive character. He's overwhelming. He must be it. And the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his heart or the strength of his thighs, for I have rejected him. It's not a word against you, Peter, just in case you're thinking. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesse called Abinadab and said, hey, you pass in front of him. Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse said, okay, Shammah, your turn now, pass by. It must be you, like third born, right? Sorry, not that. Jesse made the rest, six more sons, pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Well, there is still the youngest, Jesse answered him. He is out tending sheep. He's the young guy in the group. That's him due. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until Koskona arrives. Mdu. So he sent for him and had him brought in. And in walks Mdu. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance. You see, that's why I thought it's you. And handsome features. Am I right, ladies? Handsome features. Then the Lord said, arise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So it's David, right? Not Mdu, in case you thought it was actually a story about Mdu. Just to clarify, right? And that day onwards, the Spirit of God was powerfully on David. Did David become a king immediately and go to Jerusalem? Ta-da, it's me. No. It took a while. But here's what happened on that day. David was destined to be king. I suggest David was destined to be king from before the creation of the world. You know, there's scriptures that said God called you from before the creation of the world because he loved you. He chose you in Christ. God knew about all of us. God sees the beginning and the end and the middle. We often think, it's all going bad. God's forgotten about me. God knows exactly what's going on, and he will bring his best to pass. And so David is destined to be king, but he was prepared for his destiny in what I saw in the story in 1 Samuel 16 in at least three ways. And it's kind of heart, head, and hands in a kind of a way, but we'll see what I'm talking about now. So here's some of the ways, because for me, for you, it's more important to know, am I moving in the right direction? Am I bringing what God wants me to bring to the equation when God figuratively taps me on the shoulder and says, here's your finest hour just ahead of you? So the first thing is his heart. David's heart for God prepared him for his destiny. That's the first thing God looked at. Sure, we read that David was ruddy and handsome and glowing already, or sunburned. Why? He's out in the fields all day, right? And God was pleased with him. David spent hours out with his sheep, with his harp, playing, singing, making music to God. God looks down and sees those who are worshiping him, and he gathers around them. This is what we read later in Acts 13. I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Don't you want God to say that? That's a lady after my own heart, because it's not gender bound. He happened to be a man. I'm looking for someone after my heart, whose heart beats with my beating heart, you know? It's worship, it's love, it's compassion, it's making a difference. And he will do everything I want him to do. Secondly, there's gifts and talents in this young man. They prepared him for his destiny by giving him access to the king. The rest of the story reads like this, that King Saul is in a depressive state and he needs to be free. And so he wants someone to come play music that can free him. Guess what? One of his servants says, hey, I know a man. Jesse's son David plays the harp and God's spirit is on him. So somehow, secondly, people are getting to know about David. They know what he's able to do, okay? David's gifts and talents prepare him for his destiny by giving him access to the king. And the servant says, I've seen him play. He knows how to play. And he's a brave man and a warrior, by the way. He speaks well, fine-looking man. And suddenly David is brought from obscurity right into the king's palace. Isn't it amazing? Where's he going? Ultimately, he's going to be the ruler. Now the king has invited him in. That's where you want to be, right? If you are going to do that electricity vision of yours that I was overhearing, you want to have God position you towards that at some point. Because if you If you have no connections or whatever, it's going to be somewhat challenging. And the Lord was with them. Thirdly, I don't think I quite got the right word this week. I was chatting with Ethan, and he was saying, maybe it's the word experiences that have happened in life. Because work sounds like your job, right? And we maybe haven't. But anything that you've done so far, any activity, things that you've done, doesn't have to be a formal employment or something. In fact, for David, he was looking after the sheep and the goats. So David's work as a shepherd prepared him for his destiny. Is that true? Yeah, life experience. If you can keep sheep together, you can really lead a group of people, right? Because sheep are always going off other directions. Sheep always want to be fed and clothed. You have to protect them. Well, talking about protect them, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he says in 1 Samuel 17. This is just stealing two verses from what's going to be preached next week, because David mentions this when he goes up against Goliath. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. This dude's next level insane. The bear takes a cub. What am I doing? I'll go to ShopRite or Pick and Pay and buy some more lamb. David's like, you come back here. Wah! And if the bear comes after him, I grab him by the jaw and I smack him on the head with a club. David's fearless. Okay? There's these things that he's done because he's been in this non-paying family responsibility and role. So I don't know what you've done already growing up, but God's going to use it. Nothing is out of God's sphere of influence and usage. The Lord rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear. When I met that young lady, that's a long time ago, right? Hey? I look more handsome there. I think, like, you're right. But don't mock old people, because the one time the bears came out and killed them. So I'm scared of bears coming in the room. And who's David? Who's going to play David if the bears come in? Awesome. But if I rewind my life, and I think that when at age 15 someone said, would you preach in the main service? And it was only one third of the sermon, so I wasn't on my own, you know? It was Stretch and Titch, two other people. And I was known as Tits, because with a surname like Titley, you can imagine how brutal school was, right? And the three of us got together to preach, shaking knees. Little did I know that God was moving me somewhere. So that already, by the time I had finished Bible school, I was invited back to spend a decade of my life training youth pastors. My first response when the call came from a man by the name of Johnny was like, Johnny, I can't do this. I haven't created a Bible school track for youth pastors. I've only been that for a few years, student pastor at best. And he said, I see something in you. And that enabled us to train dozens and dozens every year over 10 years of youth pastors, and the course is still going. You can study at SATS, South African Theological Seminary, and you can be exposed to the material that was created back then. Secondly, I had a whole decade of my life in not just working with leaders in South Africa, but in the rest of this continent. I was the most least likely to do this. I'd never flown out of this country except in a military vehicle or aeroplane to do dodgy stuff somewhere in countries we weren't even supposed to be in half the time. Here was God saying, I want you to lead a movement across Africa, and I was broke. Debbie and I were this far away from losing our little townhouse in Windsor East. I had nothing. One weekend, a church in America gave me $100,000. The exchange rate was 14 to 1 at the time. I banked 1.4 million rand, and I used that to mobilize into these countries, Burkina Faso, Gabon. These are just some images of the people that I had the most amazing privilege to train over a 10-year period. All of them were trained four times at least over 5 days, two times. They were mobilized, released to make disciples in their countries. There's even a South African picture in there. And Zambia. Who was I? Literally a nobody. The middle child of five children. And many times growing up, if it wasn't for parcels dropped off on our door, because my dad was out of work more than he was in work, we wouldn't have eaten many nights. But God knew. God doesn't look at the most famous, the most destined to achieve. When I got two C's, three D's and an E in matric, do you think they wrote about me destined to achieve? But when I walked into Bible school, I graduated summa cum laude, if you know what that means. It's above 90% average. Languages, I aced them with an average of 98% Hebrew and Greek. This guy that could barely scrape through English in high school and got an E, for Afrikaans. Suddenly I'm doing languages, I'm excelling. What's happened? God's created a passion in me. My story wasn't over with my matric certificate. God had a plan. I don't even think it was me the rest of that. It was God doing that. And I've had the last 10 years here, and this sounds a bit like a farewell speech, but it's not, working with you all, a most amazing, amazing group of people. And we've seen year after year, when Jesse Smith is standing up downstairs, you know, when a Fancy drops in, or Pepsi, guys that have graduated years ago, it's like, those are guys that came through this incredible ministry. And now, not necessarily taking me away, but taking up quite a bit of my time, the apostolic leaders, from Philip to Pastor Roger and Simon, had said, would you build a youth movement, a national youth movement in this country? Because we don't have one. We have a campus movement, but we don't have a high school movement. What if every high schooler from every nation got together in one location within the next 2 years to worship and to experience God's power? Wouldn't that be earth-shaking? Because it's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Here's what they don't know. But I did this years and years and years ago, even before Bible school, when I had the privilege of leading worship in front of 1,500 Baptist youth. And I don't want to go back to lead worship. There's more anointed people. But I've experienced youth on a fire, youth on a move. It's a next season, a next phase. And thankfully, I can do it right here, from here. It may take me a while ago, but thankfully, we've got Micah and Nao and all of the rest of you stepping up, standing up and saying, God, I'm ready to be used by you. And so really, the bottom line is, what's your destiny? How are you being prepared for your destiny? This is not the me show. This is not the Nao show. It's not even the Micah show. This is your show. And if you're going to say, ah, Lord, I don't know if I can, then just remind yourself that Pastor Mark was a nobody in matric. The statements in some of my reports were, work comes in fits and starts. More fits than starts. I had to go for a job interview with that. How I ever made it to Natal University, I have no idea. God must have had something to do with that admission for that phase of my life. You need to know that God's walking in this door and God is saying, I want you for something really significant. So, what things are you passionate about that God cares about? Because that's going to be a sign. Secondly, what are the gifts that God has already blessed you with? And don't think too hyper-spiritual, yeah? I was creating PowerPoint presentations, and that was recognized in the business world. And before I knew it, I was earning 8,000 Rand for a two-day facilitation. And that was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Imagine how much I would be raking in today. In fact, my oldest son said, Dad, have you done the maths? Do you know how much you would earn a month if you did this all the time? And I said, Keeks, this is helping me do missions and ministry, because that was my passion. What is it that you're doing? No matter how practical it is, like David shepherding. And lastly, what work have you done? Work, what experience have you had that could lead you to your destiny? I'm going to give you about 8 minutes, because church is not ending anytime soon, and it's Volunteer Sunday, and we only start our leaders meeting at 8:30. So I'm going to give you about 8 minutes before I wrap up with a thought. So go. That's kind of what happens in life. God bursts on the scene, and he says, I'm raising up someone. And sometimes it's even a team. It's not always just individuals. But he pulls people together. But if we don't respond, if we don't have that turning, that sensitivity, hearing God, listening to people, looking back, seeing what we've done in our lives already, you know, how's your head? How's your heart? How's your hands? Are they going to be available for God to use you? And you'll unpack this more this week. That's why I don't mind too much interrupting you, because we're going to stay, all our devotions this week are going to be in 1 Samuel 16. We're even going to be tracking with Jim LaFoon, if you know about one of the senior prophets in our movement. He's got two, he's written for me two of the day's devotions. Well, he wrote them, not for me, for us. We'll use them, okay? And I think it's going to be an opportunity to be part of that daily journey. I'm going to challenge you to be part of this devotional journey. I know it's easy when I post that and it comes, and it's like, that's just Pastor Mark's devotions. I'll do them later. Do them later doesn't always work. So when we post them at night between 7 and 8, 8 latest hopefully, try, and even if you take 10 minutes, track through it. The first ones are not long. Jim's one's a bit longer, and I'm calling you to give it your best shot. But here's what I want to challenge you with. Are you, when God walks in to the room of your life, are you going to be like Peter? Or are you going to be like do and say, is there food? Is there food? God's like, I mean, you don't even know where you're going. You're like Abraham. God says, I want you to go to a country. Abraham says, where? God says, our door, I'll show you. Just pack up and get moving. Like, that's the kind of response we need out there long before. And so I want to pray for you. So if you want to live into your destiny, I want you to stand with me for prayer. And you don't have to. You can say, no, that's too hectic. Father God, I want to thank you that you come at a unique point in time and maybe many times over the course of our lives, and you burst in and you tap us on the shoulders and you offer us something to do that is uniquely fitted to our abilities and our gifts. But Lord, firstly, when you look around the room when you walk in, you don't just look on the outward, you look at the heart and you see whether we are turned toward you. Are we soft? Are we humble before you? Are we available? Are we those who are passionate about the things you're passionate about? And then you help us one day even look back and connect the dots and say, oh, so that's why I studied that thing. Or that's why I had that experience. That's why you allowed me to grow up in that tough environment, because you made me tough to fulfill my destiny. Lord, sorry that we sometimes have a short-term outlook and we only think for today and think we should just be happy and healthy and fed and wealthy and all of that. But you are working through our lives. And Lord, you've heard the destinies. You've heard those dreams that we have for the rest of our lives. May you use us to fulfill what you have called us to do. May it be even more dynamic and exciting than we could even dream. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You have to come next week because there are giants waiting for you and they are going to stand in your way. But David will teach us through Zeva facilitating one of you. Will be, this is how we can stand against the giants in our lives. So we will see you all next week. Have a phenomenal week. Daily devotions, 8 o'clock, your appointment with me. Don't blue tick me. Cheers.